Let's go back to what a code might be. Is it true that certain letters in a language appear more frequently than others?
Yes. In English, the letter that is the most is the letter E. At the end of a word, it's liable to be an S or a T or an N. And if there's just one letter, well, it might be the letter A or the letter I. Generally, when messages were sent from a certain place, they'd be the same every time. And if you worked on it and you were able to break those letters and they'd give the name of the camp it was sent from, if you could do that, well, then some of those letters would be ones you could put in with the others. But every language has a different, which one of their letters is the best to pick out first.
And then most likely pairs of letters, too, like TH would probably be.
That's one, and like the double S's, the double C's, the double L's.
So somebody trying to write in code would try to cover up the use
of
that letter E.
Mm-hmm.
They'd use another.
They'd use something else. Lots of times they were just like little boxes like you see in the things in the paper for Sudoku and those sort of things. You have to fill them in. And the Japanese ones were easier broken because they were not familiar of how to send messages because they had to send them by telegraph.
In German, then, what letter was theirs?
I don't remember that part. I just know when you study German grammar, everything's backwards and it's more like Latin. When you study English and Spanish and French, you have a subject and a verb and a direct object or like that. Well, in German, they do all these other things, and the verb comes last. You just have to know how they talk and how they speak and what they do. And the German language is harder to learn than the Romance languages that came from Latin. And that's French and Spanish and Portuguese. And like Switzerland, which was a true neutral country, they actually speak four languages there.
Your math skills came into play.
Yes, you have to have that because, just like when you do crossword puzzles, they give you a clue, and you see, well, there's only 5 spaces or 10 spaces, whatever it is, and you have to find a word that fits in there. Well, it's the same way. You have to understand the language well enough to know which words come first and in the middle and whatever.
How would the coded messages come to your superiors?
Mm-hmm.
How were they intercepted?
Well, anybody has access, well, they did during the war anyway, to the telegraph.
Okay, so it came off the telegraph.
A lot of them. Mm-hmm.
Because the Germans were sending messages to
their agents. And I expect we had our spies in their country, too.
So it was between spies.
Sending messages. And one thing they did in the United States, somebody would be a person who was collecting information, and they needed to get it to the spy that would transfer it to Germany or Japan. They had meeting places, and it might be in a park on a certain bench. Whatever information they had collected, they stick to the bottom of the bench. And that spy would come by 2 hours later and pick it up and then could send the message on. So there were people who were helping the spies here, too.
Americans, you think, were helping?
There were probably other Germans, I imagine.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you one thing that we did with the Japanese, and everybody thinks it's fantastic. During the war in the Pacific, some of our Navy ships were damaged. They were brought into dry dock in the Seattle area and were being refurbished, and if there was a hole in the side or whatever, they fixed. Well, I know there were a lot of Japanese that were in concentration camps, but there are people that were still there that were more loyal to Japan than they were to America. They could spy just past the shipyard where they were repairing those ships. They had the names of the ships. They could see that. And if the damage was in the stern or wherever it was, then they relayed that message to Japanese who were people in Lima, Peru. There's a big Japanese group in Lima, Peru. That was sent on to Tokyo. Then the armed services in Japan knew how much damage they had done to American ships that were dry dock in Seattle. And then they had a doll hospital. I'll tell you about that one.
A doll hospital?
Well, you know, if you have a doll and it's one you want to have repaired and it's a real expensive doll and everything, you'd be willing to pay to get it fixed. And they called it a hospital. I guess there are people now who do antique things. They fix them all back up. It would be that sort of thing, but they called it a doll hospital. That doll represented a ship, and they would say, well, this doll's arm was broken, and we had to do this. Then when the Japanese got that, what was supposedly fixing the doll was actually passing information of what had happened to the ships that were in the dry dock.
So they would, say, take the arm off a doll.
Mm-hmm. If it was the left arm, it was that side of the ship, see.
Whether it was the port side or the starboard side.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Starboard would be the right arm, and the port would be the left arm.
So then they'd know the damage, which side of the ship it was.
Somebody in the doll hospital then received the doll, and they sent the message back to Japan.
Or to Lima, Peru, see, and then sent
that
it.
This doll indicated this ship's name, and so now we know where the damage was. To the American ship?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was important for the Japanese
to know, yes,
that they had done that damage.
Yes. The other thing I think you'd be interested in, the Germans had two-man submarines, and they did set foot on American soil on the East Coast. I really have never been told how the FBI knew they were landing, but they were apprehended as soon as they landed, and they were ones that were coming to infiltrate, I guess you'd say, American troop activities and such, so they could send the message back, because they all had radios with them.
German submarines actually landed?
On the East Coast.
Where?
Well, it'd be like New Jersey and close to New York City.
You kind of wonder how a German submarine could come that close.
Well, I don't know how they got unless they were on board some ship and got so many miles close to the coast, and then they put them in the submarine. They were a two-man one, and they hoped they got there, but if they were sunk, well, they only lost two men in a little tiny submarine.
But the FBI...
They knew about it, and I don't know how they got the information. Because there were some people, instead of just being a spy for one country, they maybe were double spies. They were playing both ends. And sometimes they were triple spies.
Triple spies.
They were getting information and send them to more than one place. They'd send them to two others.
And they were motivated for political reasons, or was it money they were getting?
I don't know that they got money. They maybe did, but I think some of them... And I know it's particularly true of the Japanese. They revere the country where their parents came from. And they were more liable to do some things. But the Germans did it too. And I'm sure it goes on today now. We have people that spy all the time in different countries.